The TV Dudes, episode 15, recorded January 13th, 2015. 2015 TV has begun. So, Greg, we're down to a skeleton crew today.
I know, man. It's not a permanent thing. It's just that sometimes life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. That's a great John Lennon quote.
John Lennon. I was like, who's that?
Yeah, that's...
Who from The Wire said that?
No. The Beatles are my wire. And if anybody knows, there's a friend of mine, a friend of ours, Nate Bliss, who's an amazing artist. One of the greatest things I've ever gotten in my life was he did... My favorite album of all time was Revolver by the Beatles. He did Revolver with the Wire characters. That was amazing.
It is seriously badass.
Yeah, it's on the wall right... We're recording at my apartment, but it's on the wall right over there. It's awesome. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous.
So I'm either quoting The Wire or quoting The Beatles. So there you go.
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, we're just down to the two of us. I'm Grant.
Sorry, I'm Greg. That was a bad timing. Well, we're so used to having three people.
Yeah, we'll have someone else to buffer.
I figure I could get a sip of water in.
Yeah, and today we're talking about a bunch of new shows. I guess 2015 TV season has really kind of kicked off.
Yeah.
We got some of the new shows rolling in that you and I have been able to catch some of them, and we're going to be discussing those.
And I think the way they're rolling everything out, you know, almost every week we'll be able to discuss new TV shows or returning shows that are coming back.
Yeah. Well, and then in the interim, if there's ever a lull week, we have a couple special guests. In fact, we were going to have one this week.
Yes.
But given that we had to kind of shift some schedules around, we'll have that special guest next week or so. But before we get into that, usually I'd be talking about some iTunes shout-outs.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get any.
What?
None.
You guys are falling asleep out there.
Listeners, here's what I need you to do. This is a free show.
Yes.
We do an all right job talking about TV.
I think so.
Damn great job.
I think we do an awesome job.
There we go. Let's hype ourselves all the way up.
Yes.
But we don't ask for money. What we do ask, though, is if you could really help us out, go to the iTunes store, give us a 5-star rating if you haven't done it yet.
Yes.
And write us a little review, and then we'll read it here on the show. It really helps us out, helps with visibility, helps continue to grow the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're going to move on to our news.
Yes.
I was going to also ask listener questions, but I didn't get to it this week.
That's okay. I'm getting married this week, my schedule is tight this week. Randy had he's a very busy guy. He had some things that he kind of misscheduled this week, so we kind of, instead of just not doing it, we figure we'll do just a guerrilla podcast, sort of.
We're guerrilla-ing it.
Yeah.
But we got some interesting news this week. First off, I wanted to kick off with premiere dates.
Oh,
all
yes.
Sorts of shows.
Because of the,
TCAs.
The winter TCAs.
Television Critic Association. Mm-hmm. They gather, early beginning of each year.
Yeah, they do winter and summer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means we get a bunch of news out of there. We get a bunch of released premiere dates. And we got some of our big ones that we're excited about. First up, House of Cards Season 3 is going to be February 27th.
They just
announced that one.
And if anybody watched the Golden Globes, I know Randy didn't, but I watched all of it, and they actually premiered the trailer for it, which looks really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Season 2 was whatever. It went off the rails. It got ridiculous.
I liked Season 2.
I like it too, and it's almost like a high class version of like a Shonda Rhimes show now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like
it's trashy.
It's trashy, but who cares? I enjoy
it. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that big time.
And then following on the heels of that, I want to go in order here.
Yeah.
March 17th, we got a couple of them. We have Community, which is debuting on Yahoo for their sixth season.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't know. Is Yahoo Video, I guess it's free? I don't know if you can just download it and watch it.
I'm guessing it's free. Maybe they have some pay thing. I mean, they have that like Yahoo, I want to say it's Play, but that's Google.
Well, no, they what they have, ironically enough, as I look at my iPod, they have this thing It's called Yahoo Screen.
Screen. There we go.
And I think it's a free app. And I don't know if you might just have to be a Yahoo member or whatever to sign in for it. I'm not even sure
you
have to do that.
It's free account, so, like Hulu, so whatever. Yeah.
And so they've got that's going to be going on there, and then they also have like a bunch of reruns of Saturday Night Live clips. It's pretty cool, actually. Oh.
So also on March 17th, we have iZombie, which is that comic adaptation, which is about this girl who's kind of this hipster scenester girl, but she's also a zombie, so you know she has to go grave rob to eat brains of other dead people because she didn't want to like kill live people, and then she's got like friends that are like ghosts and shit.
So what channel is that on?
That's my description of it.
Yeah.
Ooh, what channel is that on? Let me check.
See, it's so hard because there are so many different channels now. It's ridiculous.
It's gonna be on CW.
CW, okay.
Which is a surprise, but CW seems to be kind of picking up their game. They're starting to become a little bit of a competitor.
Well, I think, and again, the reference to Golden Globes, the awards were kind of all over the place. And the really big winner was like Transparent, because Tambor won for Best Actor of Comedy Drama or whatever, and that show won for Comedy Drama, whatever the weird categories are.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the first
Transparent
time. Transparent
one?
Yeah, Transparent.
Weird.
Yeah, Transparent one. Well, it's a great show. It's an amazing show, but it's on Amazon Prime that only, I don't even think half the country gets.
Big Bang Theory didn't win? How does that happen?
I don't know.
Modern Family didn't win? How does that happen?
I don't know.
Something's happening.
It's not the Emmys.
Yeah, something's falling apart.
Yeah, it's all those French people that actually watched weird television.
They did not grease palms enough, I guess.
No.
To get their wins.
No.
Then moving on to April. We got a string of the big bads. We got Mad Men, yes. April 5th.
I know. I'm excited for it. Big
Game
time.
Of Thrones, April 12th.
Yes.
And Daredevil, April 10th. I went a little backwards there.
Yeah.
But Daredevil, that one's going to be released in full. I'm wondering if they're going to do the same with Community, actually.
Okay. I don't
going to release the whole season.
That's interesting. I don't know. I don't think Yahoo Screens has ever done.
Because Amazon, they release the whole season at once, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so they're following the Netflix model.
Right. But I don't know Amazon. I mean, Yahoo Screens. I've never seen, there's never, this, a Community's got to be their first scripted show, I think.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see, because I would be surprised if they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because it seems like if you're going to stream, it's a lot of hours of television, so you're still going to want to watch it at a certain pace, you know, I would think.
Yeah.
So.
And then our final one that we really want to mention is this upcoming Monday from you guys listening to this, the 19th over at National Geographic Channel. I think 10 p.m. Central.
Uh-huh.
But, check for y'all's time zones there. Hacking the System is coming back to complete its first season, I guess.
It's funny because our friend Jason's in it, and we're Facebook friends with him, and he's been putting, like, pictures up.
Yeah.
Little
clips and pictures.
Yeah, of, like, the scams you're doing or whatever. Whatever some of the shows. And just, it's just funny, like, Brian is a great host, because he has the room, and he really knows how to kind of dictate, the scene. And I don't know, it's just always funner when you know, like, and our friend Jason's kind of like the straight guy.
He's a straight guy, but he also kind of plays the goofy sidekick.
Right. And just knowing his personality and just knowing him,
it's hilarious to see that he has to go and be like, well, what is that? I don't know. Even though, like, behind the scenes, he wrote most episodes.
Yeah.
He actually wrote it.
Yeah,
so.
I know. And just because he's just funny. And just sometimes, like, Tony Kornheiser from Pardon the Interruption, he always talks about this on his radio show. He goes, you never get tired of watching your friends on television. It's just nice. So please watch it. Please. It's entertaining. It is funny. And you will actually learn something.
And when you do watch it, you know, usually I would say no one really uses Twitter to watch shows. But if you do, please go and like tag a bunch of things, hashtag hacking the system.
Yeah.
And tag Nat Geo channel or whatever their name is.
Yeah.
You know, help promote it. That'd be good, because he's a friend of the show. He's been on TV Dudes a bunch.
Yes.
I do other stuff with him. Greg's done other stuff with him. We've all collaborated.
Yeah.
Good friends of the show, so we're looking forward to that. Our next little bit of news story is that there were some pilot pickups. Fox ordered Minority Report.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming. That we were discussing that the other day when we were a couple weeks back when we were talking about the
where they changed
the Daily
name,
Show the Dynasty. Yeah.
Which and, actually makes sense. I mean, I'm glad they picked it up so they don't have to they don't regret not being able to use the name. So
yeah. So this will be this is one of the first ones for Fox, first formal pilot orders for the 2015-16 season. It is going to be set 10 years after the film's pre-crime in Washington, D.C.
So is it? So it'll be after they kind of dismantled pre-crime?
I guess. Here's a little bit more of the description. It says, the drama centers on one of three precogs who's struggling to lead a normal life because he's haunted by visions of the future. So I guess, you know, they dismantled it.
Right,
they're
right.
on the street now. He may find purpose to his gift after meeting a detective haunted by her past. So, detective guy girl team up.
Well, they kind of like Bones, and they they reversed the roles too because it
Bones
was Tom
and Castle and whatnot.
Yeah, and it was Tom Cruise and I forgot the actress's name who I thought was really good in that movie. I really liked Minority Report a lot.
Yeah. And then our next story is NBC has also done their first pilot order for a show called Warrior, which will also be for the 2015-16 cycle. This is a spiritually themed drama, and it's described as centering on a damaged heroine who works undercover with physical and spiritual guidance from a mysterious martial arts master to bring down an international crime lord.
Okay. All right. I don't even know what to say. I mean, okay. Blacklist is coming back this week, and I'm all in on it because of James Spader.
Yeah.
They've been running this show that is like looks like a terrible ripoff of The Americans. Have you seen this?
Oh, I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
I mean, I don't even know the name of it. it's like this is totally The Americans. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And their shows are just so bad. They seem to try to throw in two. It's like they're behind the curve, so they pick pieces off of like successful shows. So it's kind of like The Americans, or kind of like, you know, that sounds kind of like Kung Fu or something, you know. And this is a jumbled mess, and so I have no faith in it being any good. But it might be. I don't know. They did do Hannibal, so
true. Our next bit of news is: did you ever see the movie Wet Hot American Summer? It's a cult comedy.
And it stars
a ton of comedians. Let's see when it actually came out. It's 15 years ago. So it was about 2001, I guess, the movie came out.
I don't think so.
Anyway, so it takes place at this Jewish, summer camp, where all these... they're a bunch of older, like known actors, but they're trying to pretend they're older teenagers in this movie.
Wow.
So it's all farcical. It's taken tongue in cheek. But it's just all absurdist comedy. It's done by Michael Showalter and David Wayne.
Oh, okay.
And the movie's cast included Elizabeth Banks, H. John Benjamin, Michael Ian Black, Bradley Cooper, Judah Friedlander, Jimmy Garofalo, Ken Marino, David Hyde Pierce, Joe Latruglio, Christopher Maloney, Amy Poehler, Paul Rudd, Molly Shannon, Michael Showalter, of course. Just a ton. It was just a massive cast.
Right.
And they've been able to nail down a Netflix 8-episode series that's going to be returning with all of that cast.
Oh, wow.
All of that cast coming back.
That's awesome.
8-episode series.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
That's
exciting.
That's good. I have to go check out the original movie, but that's awesome.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Okay,
but it's a fictional Jewish summer camp in 1901. That's a little description there. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I'd like to see how they continue developing that. Fargo got a bunch more casting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So check this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I just rattled off a huge list of names for Wet Hot American Summer, but
right.
Fargo also has an equally impressive cast. Patrick Wilson,
Whoa.
Ted Danson, Gene Smart, they're all going to be joining. They're kind of the big names.
Gene Smart. I love Gene Smart.
In addition, I mean, we already had Kirsten Dunst and we had Jesse Plemons. Mm-hmm. But then they said Nick Offerman is going to be joining. Brad Garrett, Kieran Culkin, Bakeem Woodbine, Jeffrey Donovan, and Angus Sampson also are going to be in this. So Patrick Wilson's going to be the younger Keith Carradine character, Lou.
Okay.
Lou Salverson.
Right.
So so this is all going to take place with that that crime that happened way back. So this is going to be a period piece, I guess.
Yeah, that's the
one. In the 70s, 79.
Is that the one that drives him out of the force or something? I'm trying to remember. Like, I know he left, and that's why he's got the restaurant, the Keith.
Yeah. So the little description they have here is Patrick Wilson will star as Lou Salverson, who is described as a young, clean-cut Minnesota state patrolman 4 years back from Vietnam, where he served in the Navy. Mm. Danson will play Hank Larson, Lou's father-in-law, and the sheriff of Rock County, Minnesota.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Smart will play Floyd Gerhart, the matriarch of the Gerhart crime family.
Oh, I love Gene Smart.
In the new episodes, which are set for 1979, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Together, Lou and Hank will investigate a case involving a local crime gang and a major mob syndicate.
Okay. I'm in on it. I mean, how can you not be in on that? That sounds great.
And I was just thinking, you know, I love Kieran Culkin in the few things I've seen him in. I'm like, he needs to keep having work. I'm like, a weird person for maybe all, yay. But
and then I like, cool. I mean, Ted Danson. I think for me, his
taking a break from CSI.
Yeah, well, you know,
pays the bills.
Yeah, it pays. Like he needs any bills paid. But I mean, he's every time he's on screen, I always like him. As one thing, like
something pretty captivating about him.
But and
he has such a swagger about
him. And he's good, but he also knows how to play small. Like he was amazing in Damages. Even in like Becker, he was great. Or even his little role in like I always liked his little role in Saving Private Ryan. I always liked that. Like he's on screen for like maybe 5 minutes.
So tiny, yeah.
But he was great in it, and just the way you know, I don't know. I'm excited to see Ted Danson in some more quality work again.
Yeah. So speaking of other great actors that have kind of disappeared from the limelight for a bit, John Travolta just landed the lead role in FX's American Crime Story. So he's going to be
back to television.
Yeah, he's going to be coming to television, back to television again.
Has he been on television regularly since Welcome Back, Carter?
I actually don't know.
I don't think so.
He's going to be playing Robert Shapiro, you know, part of the O.J. Simpson trials dream team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's going to be joining David Schwimmer, who's playing Robert Kardashian, Sarah Paulson, who's going to be Marcia Clark, Cuba Gooding Jr., who will star as O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
So
I'll watch that.
Pretty big. I mean,
I'll watch that.
This is such a big trend we're seeing now. It's like all these big film actors are coming to these TV shows, and they're bringing with them like this monstrous cast and these big ensembles.
I also think that these showrunners doing this almost have more power in Hollywood. I mean, where did I see it? I saw something either on Facebook or online talking about that basically all the artistic stuff is really television, and then the tentpole, you know, when you do movies, you just go off and you do like these big whatever Into the Woods, or you're doing a Marvel movie or a Spider-Man movie or some big movie, and they have some, and most of them are actually pretty good, but I mean, I can understand, like, there's some people who don't like comic book movies, so, and if you're not fitting a certain role, if you can't get that role, then you go to TV and you kind of build up your bona fides, then you go back onto the screen. I mean, I think it's good for everybody. I really do.
I just no longer think that they look at it as sort of a step down, like slumming anymore. Now it's a lateral move, and even one that can gain quite a lot of prestige. I think Matthew McConaughey's proved that.
I think Matthew McConaughey and I really Jessica Lange, and I do think, even though it didn't get much play, I do believe that once season two, the Nick gets going, especially with Soderbergh and Clive Owen again, if you get, I don't know, Another director doing television, like a big time director that has that canvas of like 8 hours to do something if they want
Fincher to. With House of Cards, and got him over Soderbergh over at Cinemax.
And I wouldn't mind seeing, like, instead of just Scorsese directing one episode or something like he did with Luck, maybe if he does a whole series, they give him a whole series to do it.
Oh, you
know, if he wants to, I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be really exciting. Our next bit of news, coming back to National Geographic, we're going to discuss that again.
Yeah.
Because our buddy Jason and Brian, they're having Neil deGrasse Tyson join them on that channel because he's going to be hosting the first ever late night show for National Geographic.
That's going to be awesome.
It's kind of cool. I mean, coming after this, he just did Cosmos. He's the big time astrophysicist scientist go to guy.
It's kind of nerd talk television.
Yeah,
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, he's not like going to have entertainment. I mean, what's the show going to be like? I mean, who's he going to have, like physicists and nature people?
I imagine that his special guests are going to be a little bit more from the scientific realm. He already does that podcast Star Talk,
which
has grown and become pretty popular among, you know, not just science geeks but anyone. And so they were like, yeah, we kind of want to continue along that path, apparently.
I think that is awesome. I think it's lovely. And I just think it's just so nice to be able to hear somebody talk intelligently. And then you have, like, just long conversations about deep stuff that, you know, makes you think. You learn something from it.
Here's a funny thing, though, from this quote. This is a quote from Courtney Monroe, the CEO of National Geographic, who says that we continue to bolster our programming with series and event specials that are brand definitional, and Star Talk is the perfect opportunity to offer our audience an edgy, late-night alternative with the credibility and authenticity that are hallmarks of our network. And just that word, edgy, with, you know, science talk, it just seems so weird to me. It's
because,
like, this is edgy.
What'll be edgy about it, actually, what's edgy about it is, like, so going back to, we were talking, I think, off mic about Bill Maher, because I saw his show last week, and this is the first time I watched it in a long time. And, you know, he hates religion.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just hates it.
He's an anti-theist.
He's just, so he went nuts about the whole thing that happened in France last week, you know, and extremists and stuff. And, my, you know, Neil, he does the same thing, just...
I feel like he ends up saying some stuff tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But I from what he used to always say, I never got the impression that he was really trying to challenge and go butt heads with religion so much as religion continues to butt heads with him.
Right. It's so, or you can have Bill Nye, a science guy, on.
But then he was on Twitter and he was kind of
he was
poking the bear.
No, he poked the bear, and if you have, like, you know, Bill Nye, a science guy, on there who pokes the bear all the time.
Oh, well, so absolutely.
Yeah, so, and then you might get, or you get somebody who's a scientist who actually believes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it has a possibility, and especially now when we have this Republican Congress that are doing crazy things with putting people who hate science in ahead of science.
Ted Cruz being part of that science committee.
Yeah, which is...
what?
You know what? We need his voice. We need to... Nat Geo's doing the public a service with this
show. I agree. All right. Our next bit of news is that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just nabbed Edward James Olmos.
What?
Yeah, he's going to be a character in the second part of season two here. And I'm kind of excited about that. So Olmos will play Robert Gonzalez, who debuted this spring in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., will have massive repercussions for director Coulson and his team. So you guys might be familiar with him, if I have to even say it, from Battlestar Galactica. He was also in Blade Runner and Miami Vice. He's a big-time actor. I love that they just nabbed that guy.
Yeah, I just recently saw him in that weird movie, Two Guns, which is actually strangely really good.
Two Guns.
Yeah, it was that Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg movie.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually really funny because all those guys had great chemistry, and there's some scenes between Olmos and Wahlberg and Denzel that are just classic, just great comedy little things. So.
So, next little bit of news. The CW is you know, doing really well with their Arrow and Flash series, and they have Brandon Routh's character, the Atom, has been popping in on the scene, and so now they're talking about doing a little spinoff with that character, and why wouldn't they?
Why not?
Yeah. It makes sense. I don't think that Adam is there's going to be much concern with the crossover between him and the DC verse that they're trying to launch right now. And if they do, they just recast it anyway.
Right, exactly.
They don't want the same world. But I mean, it's kind of good timing because the Adam, the character has a lot of parallels to Ant-Man, which Marvel's releasing.
It's I love this stuff. It's like, you know, whatever you can do, I can do better.
Yeah.
Which is good. And I think I love seeing this avalanche of people creating and trying, because it's just so funny. Because, you know, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, it was like the death of creative of scripted television. Because there's still way too much reality TV shows on. But I'm glad that people are actually scripting, and even, you know, even if they're competing, you know, trying to literally have two competing universes and stuff. This is great. I love it. I'm happy. Hope it's good.
Yeah. Our last news story comes from AMC.
Ooh.
They just gave a preview of their new sci-fi drama, which is called Humans.
Mm.
Once again, based on a Swedish show. Like they're The Killing. And,
The Killing and... the other one was English.
Oh, yeah.
The Winter Sun.
I was thinking, I guess, The Bridge. Wasn't that a
that
Swedish
was
show or something?
Sweet. Yeah, I think it was Swedish or some Scandinavian thing.
The Swedish show Akta Manniskor. Yeah.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Real Humans. And Humans takes place in a world where humanoid robot services are all the rage. But as anyone who's ever seen a sci-fi drama could have guessed, these don't stay docile and oblivious for long.
iRobot.
The stars, yeah, exactly. Catherine Parkinson, Tom Goodman Hill, Gemma Chan, and William Hurt.
Oh.
So I recognize William Hurt from that list.
William Hurt, good.
Yeah. So that is also kind of interesting. That's.
Well, I mean, you know, AMC has what? After Mad Men, they've got Halt and Catch Fire, and they've got Turn, which I hated.
Yeah.
And they've got
Hell
on Wheels Better Off Saul.
They need something that's kind of good.
Yeah.
Better Off Saul might work. I mean, it's still got a lot of the great creative team.
Right.
It's just for some reason we can't help but roll our eyes at the concept.
Right. And because it's AMC.
Yeah.
I mean, AMC, they're like the baseball player who either hits it out of the park or strikes out all the time.
More like strikes out all the time now.
Yeah.
They had two hits, and I mean, Walking Dead, of course.
Oh, yeah. Kind of totally forgetting like the highest rated television show on TV. Oh, yeah. And their spinoffs. Hello.
Oh, this article, I'm reading this over at Slash Film, by the way. This article also points out that there's this human show, and then HBO is doing Westworld.
That's right. Yeah.
Is a Western with a bunch of androids as well on the screen. So. It's just like a whole bunch of robots are going to be the next big thing, I guess.
So which one is going to be done better?
Yeah, HBO.
Yeah. Okay.
can say that.
Yeah.
Unequivocally. All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll be back to talk about some of these new shows that have kicked off.
Cool.
At 1 a.m., we go for gold. At 1 a.m., when we lost control.
Agent Carter, what do you think?
I liked it. I mean, it's entertaining. It's kind of, I think part of it for me was a little, I mean, I'm kind of just parachuting into the back into the universe, because I'm because with the Marvel universe, I'm basically watch the movies. I don't watch the TV show. I watch the movies. I obviously remember her from Captain America. So I'm like, you know, it's the 40s, and I you know, the setting of the 40s. I kind of like it. I don't have the big history with what's going on with it.
Yeah.
But as a pure television show, it's entertaining. In a weird way, it kind of reminded me when I used to watch, and I don't want to parallel this with it, but like Wonder Woman. I don't know why. Where I'm like, it has nothing to do with, it might just because it's two female, basically, superheroes or something like that, but it's like a warm feeling. It made me feel like, oh, this is TV what it should be. It's like you have a lead, strong lead character, and
there's something kind of something fun and exciting and pulpy about it. And
without being like, kind of like what Johnny used to say about, like, you know, torture, emotional torture porn.
Yeah.
You know, where you got to have, like, you know, the hero is just, is tortured, it's a bad person, you know, they've killed people they don't want to kill. This is just fun and just kind of exciting, and I like it, you know?
So for anyone who isn't familiar with what Agent Carter is, just a quick synopsis. Yeah. Agent Carter is coming off the heels of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. It is a spy period piece set in the post-World War II.
Yeah, it's like 45, 46.
Like, yeah, or late 40s.
Yeah.
And it follows Agent Peggy Carter, a female agent at this secret agency called SSR, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is a predecessor to S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, she's obviously better equipped at her job.
Right.
She came from working with some of the big honchos, Captain America and Tony Stark's dad, Howard Stark, during the Captain America movie period of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's just kind of come back into this world and dealing with the glass ceiling and the cruddy guys that she has to deal with. I thought it started off really strong, especially, I mean, you can't help but contrast this to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
right,
which wasn't good.
Right.
It wasn't good at all, and even this second season, it's kind of taken a little bit to warm up and get okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I've been impressed.
And well, actually, for me, it's like, again, somebody who doesn't watch the show, the fact that they started off with, like, the touching scene at the end of the first Captain America movie, with her, with you know, with him going down, he's got the picture of her on the you know, on the dashboard, and kind of fades into her, and then you see her life, what it's like now, where she's kind of, you know, it ties it in for somebody who,
it's,
you know,
good to kind of show that, yeah, she's emotionally damaged by that event, and that kind of carries with her this. I guess, quest to be heroic in a similar way that Steve Rogers was.
And I also like, and I don't know if this was this part, if it's separate, but the whole thing with, and this is spoilers, I guess, but turning Tony Stark into, like, a wanted guy.
Howard Stark, sorry. His dad,
Howard Stark into a wanted guy.
Played by Dominic Cooper, who actually does a little cameo. It's kind of cool to see him.
It's great, and I just love that kind of, I need you to help me, Peggy.
Yeah.
And I can't be seen. And he's always a super rich guy. And then I think
there's a simple way to kind of set up this, like, here's going to be our episodic format. Right. You need to hunt for all of my missing inventions and
which
formulas.
Which are really cool. That was cool. The one for this one
was
cool.
They're all destructive. And it's like, okay, cool. You know, they now have their episodic format that will kind of carry them for at least the first part of the season, while at the same time, you know, allowing them to take the time to introduce us to this world.
And I like the actor playing Howard Stark. And then I like the guy playing Jarvis, too. His butler.
Yeah.
Which is, I think Randy, or was it you, that talked about, like, they kind of introduced Jarvis, even though now we know Jarvis is a voice in the Iron Man movies or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. And he's actually got the same kind of pattern to his voice, you know? Because I know it's, who is it in,
yeah, it's not the same guy. It's that Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany in the movies, but
the guy who's married to Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I remember him.
Exactly. But it's the same.
His claim to fame.
Yeah, but the actor now, who I cannot remember his name, actually has that same pattern. And so that's a nice tie-in. And it's just this action-adventure. It's relatively simple. She gets into trouble. She fights her way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets to, you know, wear different costumes undercover. She gets to use different accents. So,
yeah, Hayley Atwell does a great job. And I was really impressed with the rest of the supporting cast that she has as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mainly a bunch of dudes. And I read this article. I want to say it was on HitFix. And I complained about it a couple episodes ago, I think, on here as well.
Uh-huh.
But they were trying to talk about how, this show is so progressive and great for women. Because check out this one scene. There's going to be two fully formed female characters that are going to be leading this Agent Carter show. It's her and her roommate.
No.
And it's like, look at them. And they have this discussion. It passes the Bechdel test, which you know what that is, right? The idea that, like, you need to have two women in a scene that talk about something aside from a guy for, like, a couple minutes.
Right.
And so they're, like, all proudly touting that this does that. I watched the clip.
No.
And they talk about guys.
They talk about guys.
It doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
No, it doesn't. And
then on top of that, she dies.
She gets killed. Yeah.
And it's like, that's not a main character. She died.
She gets killed. And
they
then,
only have one lead female and character. Then, maybe the waitress.
The waitress who...
That doesn't count.
Yet. Who, I don't know if she becomes somebody. I don't know.
Maybe that'll become her best friend. She'll move in with her or something. Well, and then become that's a confidant the thing. Or something.
Well, at the end of the second... Because it was basically two episodes. So at the end of the second episode, she's moving to a new apartment, like a female apartment complex.
Yeah.
So
I didn't see that one yet.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
That's great.
Well, I mean, you know, nothing really happens as far as moving the plot along. Like, there's no surprises, no red herrings or anything.
Yeah.
She's just continuing, like, trying to find, go after Tony Stark's inventions or whatever. But yeah, so at the end of it, she. Because that waitress is trying to get her to move in with me, and she's like, no, I don't want to, blah, blah, blah.
Wow, I was kind of joking about that, but of course that's what it's going
to
happen.
No. So, but then they move into this woman's house, and they have all these weird rules and blah, blah, blah.
I've been watching enough TV lately, Greg.
Yeah.
I kind of can tell what's happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's whatever. Well, and I'm interested to see what that happens, what goes with that. But the Tony Stark invention, like, this one glowing, I don't know what it is, some chemical
thermite,
or something.
Thermite, whatever you was calling it.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty devastating.
Yeah.
You know, and
little thing takes down a building.
Takes out, but it makes into a ball.
Yeah.
Where and
implosions.
And in some of those lines with where, you know, the other agents that have to do their quote unquote real stuff.
Yeah.
Like who was it? Shea Whigham?
Yeah. From Boardwalk Empire.
He gives it one of the guys, hey, I got a job for you. Hey, okay. I want you to get a crowbar and just pull this apart. You get a crowbar, and he's like, what? I just like the way he's like, yeah, pull it apart. We got to find something in here. Trying to look for evidence, because they all still think that Howard Stark is, like, turned traitor. So, I don't know. It's entertaining. It's like an hour's worth of television, and I don't know. I like it. It was better than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah. The one scene I did want to kind of mention was seeing Andre Royo in the first episode, Bubbles from
Listen,
The Wire guy.
I am the first guy who loves everything about The Wire, okay? And I love Bubbles as a character.
Oh, he's so great,
He's a great character.
But apparently that's like the one accent that a guy can do.
Andre... Royo. Is not the most expressive or most diverse actor I've ever seen in my life.
Doesn't have much range. No.
Doesn't have a lot of range.
But he can certainly coast on his charm and that role in The Wire.
Yeah, he can coast on his charm because he's got that smirk and he's kind of a good-looking guy. Oh, that was one of the only weird little things that, because this show just kind of moves fast, I was kind of like, okay, so this black guy in the middle of the 40s, even in New York City, it's not in Harlem, owns a club that a white blonde woman can just walk in and start making out with him. Okay, that's not necessarily historically accurate, but I don't care. I go with it because the show's not about that.
Pretty bold.
Yeah, it's pretty bold.
Yeah.
But I do like the whatever that lip gloss she throws on and then passes. That was kind of cool.
Sleepy lip gloss.
Yeah.
All right, our next show that we're going to discuss is Empire. Actually, this is just you because I did not see this.
Okay. Now, it is I don't want to say it's trashy TV, or it kind of is, but the thing of, like, what I liked about it was I really liked the chemistry between Terrence Howard and Taraji.
Yeah.
It's really just works. I mean, they're just they work really nice together on television. And we're just on the screen. But the story is just like you throw in Dallas, you throw in any Shonda Rhimes stuff, you throw in like any type of mega drama thing, and it's just kind of over the top ridiculous. But, and the music is okay, you know, it's kind of like a, I don't know, I want to say it's like a urban version of, what's that country show I used to watch? Oh my gosh, Nashville. It's like an urban version of Nashville where the music is cool. They have enough touches on the way the industry works that you could say, okay, that kind of works. But then it gets ridiculous. Like she's in, okay, he started, the premise of the show is that he's got this huge, big record company, which also is very strange nowadays because there's really nobody like this guy nowadays because Jay-Z is Jay-Z, but Jay-Z doesn't really run a record. I mean, I guess I think he still runs Rockefeller Records, but it's not like...
It's a couple music moguls. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, you have music moguls, but they're not like... It's not like the record label mogul like it used to be.
Yeah. Wait, I thought this was a bit of a period piece, though, right?
No, it's not.
Really?
That's the thing. It's not a period piece.
They're just all dressed like...
Well, they go back and forth because what happens is that you find out she went to jail, mm-hmm. which I think is an interesting premise because she funded this the like $400,000 in this with like drug money, and I guess she got caught. So I think they have flashbacks. They do have flashbacks to their earlier life, and I guess they'll get to the point to how she got arrested and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he didn't, or maybe she might have taken a fall from. I don't know. They haven't gone that far yet.
Hmm.
So thing is he's. His character is basically dying, okay? So he needs to leave the company to somebody. He's got three sons. One of them is gay, and he doesn't... And that's where, like, people are like, oh, this revolutionary dealing with... You know, because there's history with... what is it called? Oh my gosh, I'm totally zoning here.
Homophobia.
Thank you. Homophobia in urban and in hip hop. That's really big and rampant.
Yeah.
And he's this guy. So he respects his son, but doesn't really want to deal with him. He's got a younger son who's a total knucklehead, who's just all about the money. It'd be kind of like having young Jeezy run your company, which is like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
And then he's got an older son who is all business, but he's married to a white woman. And he's not the profile he wants. So he's trying to decide between the three of them. Now the mother comes back in, and she wants hers, and she's really into the gay son, and it's all these conflicts and stuff. And I don't know. I'll probably watch it for a little bit until it gets ridiculous. But
it's not like you said, it started off ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. Listen, he has to shoot one of... Okay, the Terrence Howard's character has to murder somebody. Okay,
of course.
In real life, you can't just murder people and get away with it. You really can't. Cops are not that stupid. They're really not that dumb. You know, I mean, you can't just shoot a guy that used to hang out with you and say, I don't know what happened to him. The cops are going to be on you. And then you're going to bring more people in saying you shot that person. I mean... The one thing that you learn about if you murder anybody, not that I would recommend this, don't tell anybody. Because you tell one person, it's going to get out. Don't tell anybody. So when you start to show off...
That's why I never tell anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Me neither. But when you start to show off where the head guy who's dying has to murder somebody because he's getting
is this Terrence
extorted.
Howard?
Yeah, he's getting extorted. Terrence Howard. The guy's name is, what is his name? Sorry, Cookie Lion and Lucius. His name is Lucius. Lucius Lion, Cookie Lion. So that's Taraji's name. So he's got to kill a guy, and then that's where the intrigue goes. And it's a soap opera. It looks good. The music's okay. If you got nothing else to watch on a Wednesday night, you know, it's all right, and Fox is going to blow, you know, it's going to just say it's the greatest thing next to sliced bread.
Sure.
But, you know, I'll probably watch a couple more episodes, and then once the other good shows come on, I'll just stop watching it. But, I don't know.
All right, well, let's jump over to Archer, which has just kicked off its, what is this, sixth season?
Six or seven, I don't remember.
I think it's six. And I got to say, I thought that it has fixed a lot of issues that I had with season five. I thought season five kind of went off the rails and clung to a lot of their bad traits, which this one I was seeing, they cleaned up. They actually wrote some new material.
Yeah.
They were able to keep the personality quirks of most of their characters, but they pushed it in a new and yet familiar way.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we always liked about Archer from the, early on is that Archer, even though he's a knucklehead, even though he says ridiculous stuff, the two things Archer always had is that Archer was always a badass and always was, in the end, kind of a nice guy. You know, he just had to process it, and he processed it in a weird way, but he was always kind of did the right thing.
He's an asshole with a heart of gold.
Yeah. But when
I wouldn't even say a heart of gold.
No, he's an asshole with maybe like a brass heart, that's kind of looks like gold, but isn't really gold.
Occasionally he does a nice thing.
Occasionally he does a nice thing, but it's all about his vested self-interest. So it's cool.
Yes.
But the last few years, he's been inept because of either the drug stuff or when he was in love with the Russian robot or Russian woman or whatever, and it just kind of took his mojo away. So this first episode brought his mojo. I mean, he's coming out of a stupor because Mana obviously has the baby. He doesn't know what to do, but he's still a badass when they put him on when he's got to go do his he's got to go find his computer thing.
I like that they're in cahoots now with the CIA.
Yeah,
they had the ISIS sign, but they rolled it away behind the scenes,
which is a good.
So they didn't even have to mention it. They didn't have to say anything. He drops into the jungle and does that mission.
Yeah,
and what really caught me by surprise is at the very end. That really heartfelt moment where he takes the wouldn't call him a PFW, the Japanese guy who's been stuck on the island thinking it's still World War II.
Right, which is weird because the guy would be like 80 years old, but
but he reaches out a lifeline to the guy and says hey, look, it is worth going back to your family. In fact, I can call them right now,
right.
And you can talk to them. And you can see that you're still wanted and loved. And it was it was like an oddly touching, sincere moment in an otherwise absurd and antagonistic show.
Well, him trying to explain the world, the 70 years of the world to him.
Oh, yeah.
It just is a little bit, all right, you see, it's just like the $6 million man. And he's like, $6 million? Okay, you don't understand it. Okay, he was an astronaut. Okay. Well, astronauts would go back in the air. So he's trying to, trying to explain, he's got to go back. He goes, oh man, you don't know anything.
But his most important frame of reference was to talk about the $6 million man.
Right.
Very Archer.
Which, very Archer, but very funny. And then
I just think it's one of their strengths when they can juxtapose those serious moments or at least, wedge them in to the otherwise absurdist dickishness of the show.
Now, if they're and because Archer, I think, came back stronger. I think all the other characters, Pam, everybody came back kind of weirdly weak.
The B plot line it was filler,
right? But just remembering the way the show started, it kind of was like that until all the other characters kind of popped up and again. I mean, it was getting really weird with what's the scientist's name?
Krieger.
Just, it got really weird sometimes. So
with him and his clones and all that?
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, he's in
Boys
a hot
tub. From Brazil kind of thing?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, he's in a hot tub, and there's obviously this, with ice, what are they called? Not ice.
They're just like wing of the CIA.
Did
they have a name?
If they did, I didn't pick up.
I don't remember them saying a name. Maybe they did, but.
But now, because they're basically, they rebuilt the offices. They're exactly like they were, except they had that cool, virtual reality thing that tricked Archer's mom,
Mallory
for a second. And that was kind of funny for 2 seconds until they kept going with the joke over.
It was, but once again, one of their problems, they beat a joke to death.
Yeah.
And, I mean, glimmers of a more positive direction, like I was saying. Some problems still, I guess.
But it was all right. I'm only give it a chance. I mean, I was about to get off, really get off of it after last season. But once we heard before this, the debut that they were changing, kind of getting away from that and changing it up.
Coming back to it, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. So
give
it another shot.
And then finally, I want to talk about this new show from HBO called Togetherness, which is written by the Duplass brothers,
right.
Jay and Horatio Duplass. What is all the ones?
I don't know. I can't remember his
Mark
name.
Duplass.
Mark, yeah.
Yeah. Jay and Mark Duplass. And Mark Duplass stars in it alongside.
You've got Mark Duplass. You've got Melanie Linsky.
Okay.
Amanda Peet and Steve Zissis. I pronounce his last name.
Zissis. He's a guy that's like always in all of their mumblecore movies, the Duplass Brothers mumblecore movies. But he was great in this.
He
started off in a fairly understated role.
Right.
That, like, it was just kind of like, oh, he's just kind of this schlub, mumbling schlub. But yeah, all of a sudden, like we were talking about before, it hits that restaurant scene.
Well, yeah. See. Okay, it's kind of like these, you know, the what does life mean? What does my relationship mean about me? Kind of rom-com, or does, I guess, series that are coming out where it's either married or it's like you're the worst.
Yeah, this mid-30s crisis.
Yeah.
And usually like a married mid-30s crisis or just trying to figure out why you aren't progressing, I guess.
Yeah. So it kind of goes along those things where, you know, the marriage between Mark and, that's Brett and Michelle Pearson is not happening. You know, they're not having sex and they're too,
weird. I mean, I guess you're right. We should give a quick synopsis.
Yeah.
So there's this married couple played by, what's her name?
So you've got Mark Duplass is Brett and then Melanie Linsky is Michelle.
Yeah.
Michelle Pearson.
So they're a married couple. They got a couple kids.
Mm.
They seem to be having problems with their love life. They're not really having sex anymore.
Yeah.
And he's kind of frustrated with it. And then his best friend is played by Steve Zissis,
mm-hmm.
who is a guy who just got evicted from his house. He wanted to pursue this acting career, and it's just not working out for him.
Right.
So he's probably going to move in with Mark and his wife.
Well, he wants to move. He wants to go back. I guess he's from Detroit. He wants to go back to Detroit. Mark's like, no, I need you one more day.
Yeah,
he goes, okay.
Apparently, he just kind of needs his buddy there still with him. And then you have, what's her name?
Amanda
the wife's
Peet.
Sister, Amanda Peet.
Who's Tina.
She's a probably late 30s, early 40s lady who just seems to also be struggling with a love life.
Yeah.
And she kind of dates...
Oh, she was dating.
Good-looking asshole guys.
Yeah, and that guy. Who is that guy? He's everywhere.
Oh, that's the guy who yelled at me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What the hell is his name?
I always forget his name.
Yeah, I can't.
But
but he's a that guy. He's in like
everything. Great guy from Party Down.
Yes.
And Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
overall, I really like this show.
And yeah, they end up going to the beach together, and then, you know, he breaks up with Tina, this guy, you know, the jerk guy breaks up with Tina, so Tina decides to stay because she was going to fly off to Houston.
So she's also going to be living there. So I guess it's just going to be sort of dysfunctionally those four all living together. There's going to be a certain togetherness,
yeah.
I guess, about it.
And it was interesting. You're like, okay, I get it. But then they go, okay, so each of them, like the married couple, they each invite, you know, Steve and
they come out on a double date.
It wasn't supposed to be a double date. Date night, but it's a date night. So they're at this restaurant, and let's see. And Tina sees the asshole guy.
Ken Marino is his name, by the
way. Ken, oh yeah.
But. Yeah, it wasn't until that point where that guy comes and confronts him and starts acting ridiculous.
Well, that was the thing. The
show takes a turn.
Yeah, because she does the jilted girlfriend thing, jumps up like, you asshole, and who's it? And he's walking with another woman, you know, and you're just, you know, you're this, and did you meet her today? And he's like, I'm not talking to you because you're crazy and stuff, and kind of lights into her ass, and is making a big scene.
Yeah, instead, pretty much shaming her on the street when she was trying to, tables turn.
And then Alex comes up and does something I've never seen before on television or anybody doing it. He comes up and he turns on like the acting thing. And he acts like he knows her from some other place and from the Congo. And he acts like an ape. And he takes his shirt off. And he's just doing all this ape stuff. And everybody's like, "What the hell?" And leads her away. And it's just great.
The show has a very serious tone, even in its lighthearted comedic elements. for them to kind of do that, I mean, this is all, it's all realistic, but it's just fun and unexpected. And so it added a nice moment of levity to a very serious scene.
Yeah.
And suddenly the characters took on a charm.
Oh, well, when that, they, yeah.
That carried through, especially with the Amanda Pete and the Steve Zissou guy relationship. Like when they're sitting on the porch at the end. Like of it, I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting a better feel for this.
That pulled me in.
Everything in the show, it's kind of simple. It's very basic.
Right.
There's nothing really challenging about it, but it all feels safe and cozy, and these are likable enough people that you kind of. I'm kind of interested to see where it goes next week.
And me too. And again, kind of referencing what Johnny used to say, it's like they're people with issues, and we all have issues, but it's not like torturous issues. It's like
this is regular people issues.
Yeah, there's like regular people issues. So it's like it makes you think, it makes you kind of reevaluate your relationships with people, but you don't feel like you're watching some rehab show, or you feel terrible, or you feel like this is never going to end well for anybody.
Exactly.
You know, so, and I think it's cool to have more of this TV. So when we go watch like The Americans and somebody's going to die a very terrible death, they can go watch this togetherness and feel like, oh, this is everything's going to be okay and it's all good. And also that life isn't really that dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, things just kind of happen to you.
Exactly. So there's this other show, Gallivant, that apparently came out, and a lot of people said, which we were also saying. So
singing dialogue, you got to be able to do it really well.
Glad we dodged that bullet.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to say, though, Greg, we've seen, we included Archer, of course, in this, but these are, otherwise, it's three new shows.
Yeah.
Which ones do you want to stick with? Agent Carter, Empire, Togetherness?
At this point, I'll stick with all of them. Well, the one I will probably stick with is Togetherness.
And which one do you think that one has the most promise?
Well, for my taste, yes.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. I think Agent Carter will do well in its slot because of the.
I imagine for a bit it's just going to be kind of similar to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It wasn't wowing me. If Randy was here, he might hype it up more.
Yeah. So I mean, if you've got somebody who's in that and really dig it, I think it'll be fine. I mean, I'll say like this: I don't think any of them are going to get canceled. Obviously, I think everyone will do okay. I think Empire
might get canceled at the end of the season.
I don't know. It's like even Steppenwolf, I read his review for it, and it wasn't like this is garbage, because it's not garbage. It's just like it's you.
But does it have the balls to be as pulpy and over the top as might grab that other audience, audience?
I think so, and I think the way Fox will. Fox hypes it up with their hype machine, and the music is decent. So I think it'll be all right. I don't think it'll get canceled unless it gets terrible, and I don't think it's going to get terrible. I just think it'll find its audience. It's on Wednesday nights. If they're smart, even as a primer for the Shonda Rhimes Thursday block, you know, they kind of capture that. I think it'll be fine. I don't know. I mean, from the Twitter response I saw, people really liked it. You know, and it was a lot of the same cats that, you know, like I follow a lot of like people who follow Shonda Rhimes and those shows. And again, I have a lot of respect for her. And I can't remember, the name of her damn shows. The one, How to Get Away with Murder and Revenge. Revenge? Scandal. Right. So
Revenge just always reminds me of them.
Right. It's all this. It all kind of wrap into the same world to me. But the fact that audience they love that stuff. I think it'll be okay. You know, I could be wrong, but I want them all to do well.
Well, I think this is encouraging for how we're going to proceed through the 2015 season. I hope to see some more shows of even better quality popping up soon. I'm pretty confident.
I'm confident that I think everybody's kind of not is pulling their game up because they have to.
Everyone, yeah. Last year we had a ton of great stuff
and this year
on cable. So
I mean, even again, it's so weird. I'm sorry, going back to the Golden Globes. So they recognized Maggie Gyllenhaal won. So they recognized For the Other Woman on Sundance.
Ah,
they recognized Transparent. They recognized I don't think they. I mean, House of Cards was up. No, House of Cards won something because I saw them. Kevin Spacey went up there and Kevin Spacey won for best for actor, in drama or whatever. So you see the way they spread those awards around to all these other channels that, like I said, most of these people have no idea these shows exist, but executives do and stars do and creators do. And I think it should hopefully, it should, you know, this tide should raise all the boats. I don't know.
Oh yeah, there's this this interesting article I didn't even get to in the news, but CES, which is the big
Consumer Electronics Show, in Vegas,
they had a big this article at BGR.com says CES 2015 made it clear that the cable industry has lost its power to control how we watch TV.
Totally.
And just everything is moving away from it now, and people are not going to be subscribing to these $150 TV bundles.
That's
anymore.
The whole idea. That's what I said. That's why I said I put it on my Facebook. I don't know if I put it on the TV News one, but to me, the big deal is if you can get ESPN and live sports, and you can pay, and that's going to be in $20 service with that dish, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game changer. That's something.
Sling TV.
Yeah, thing I didn't know was coming, but now that comes. Oh, that's the game changer. Even though I still don't understand, because you're still going to have to bundle all that stuff together, and unless you get like fiber or like Gigapower or something,
HBO's standalone, Showtime's going to be standalone soon enough.
So what they're going to do, but then these cable networks are just going to squeeze the bandwidth, and or charge you more for the bandwidth, unless there's more competition there, and that's derailing. But the problem the cable industry has is that there's monopolies in areas.
And soon enough, I mean, they're talking about bundling a lot of these things, but
yeah,
I think it's only a matter of time before we have a portal that is going to allow this a la carte system where you can just pick certain things.
That's what I want, an a la carte system. I really, and if the cable providers were smart, they would start doing that now.
Yes. All right, Greg. Well, that's going to be a wrap for our episode today. Once again, listeners, we'd like to thank you for checking us out. Please give us those 5-star ratings over on iTunes.
Please.
And Greg, thanks for coming.
Thanks for you coming here, because this is really
thanks for hosting, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's not. I have a very small apartment. It's a one bedroom.
It's nice. It's swanky.
It's swanky, but it's small, so it's not the most. I never have people over, but we're trying to change that. So
yeah, well. I appreciate it. I wish you guys all the best this weekend.
Yes, right.
Very excited.
I'm getting married on Sunday, January 18th.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And until next week.
TV Dudes out.